This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to this week's edition of 5-on-3. It's a rainy Thursday night here at Rose Hill in the Bronx. I'm Grace McCarron. I'm joined by Naomi Ray, Sophia Smith, and special guest star D-host Lydia Perner, who really has some thoughts about the Rangers, so we decided to let her be on the fourth mic tonight.
When does she not?
Exactly. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to start with some general NHL. We just got breaking news on Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. We're going to talk about the Bruins changing their head coach midseason. The Toronto Maple Leafs just called up their top prospect. And then we got to get into our hometown teams, the Rangers. What's going on with them? We will hear from Lydia Perner, which is big, and the Islanders as well. I mean, again, who knows what's going on with them? We're going to get into all of that. But first, Naomi, I'll start with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. How about you, Sophia?
I'm stressed, but it's all going to be okay.
Lydia?
I'm tired. I'm sad seeing Daniel Jones sad. I'm happy my BizCom presentation's over, but I'm excited to talk hockey and somehow stay up till 9 p.m. when the Rangers start tonight. That's going to be tough, but maybe a nap will work its way in there.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. We just got news about the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin. I'm going to throw it to Naomi because she is a Caps fan. Naomi, what did we just hear about Ovechkin?
So, unfortunate news. In Washington, Capitals Alex Ovechkin is sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks with a lower left leg injury sustained in Monday's game against Utah. A shin-on-shin collision with Jack McBain left Ovechkin hobbled, and he'll be reevaluated once the team returns home from their road trip. So what do we think about this? He's been red hot this season, leading the league with 15 goals in just 18 games. He's at 868 career goals, just 27 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL record.
Yeah, I would say just from, first of all, for the hockey fan, it's tough to watch this. Even if you're not a fan of the Capitals, if you are a fan, if you're neutral, it's tough because you were seeing this great chase. He's the hottest player in the league, and he goes down with injury. He scored twice in the game against Utah that he got hurt in, and now it's 4 to 6 weeks, and he was on this great tear. He was all set to break the great one's record. Like, it's tough for the sport. It gave the NHL a bit of a plot line this season where, you know, the NHL is not the most popular sport in America by any means, but this was a thing to watch, and now they might not have that for a while. It's a tough one. Sophia, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's also detrimental to the Capitals because they've been on such a good run, like, to start the season, and for him to get injured is going to, I think, really impact them and, like, their team morale.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that stinks about the most about this is last season, Ovi kind of had an off year. He had 31 goals in 79 games. And I know for his standards, like, obviously 31 goals is a great measure, but for his standards, that's poor. To start the season 18 games in, he's got 15, and he's been looking red hot despite literally just standing there and waving his stick and waiting for the puck. And after, I don't know, 20 years, teams can't figure out how to defend it. I know I can picture in my mind him beating Henrik Lundqvist from that same spot a million times. Same thing with Shesterkin, but it does stink. And even guys like Wayne Gretzky, they were rooting for him. I know I saw on Twitter people being like, no, Gretzky said Jake McBain in to do that. But just a really unfortunate play, knee-on-knee collision. I don't think it wasn't anything intentional, but it does stink. That the grade 8 will be out for 4 to 6 weeks, but it was weeks, right? Not much. Yeah. So at least we'll see him again. I do think the Capitals are a good enough team to play without Ovi. I think they made a ton of offseason acquisitions to be able to keep it up. Pierre-Luc Dubois, obviously kind of a bust of a player, but he was a good pickup. You got Chychrun on the back end, Mangiapane. So they have pieces still, but yeah, I don't know if their record's going to be sustainable, so it should be interesting to see. But I think they'll be okay in the meantime.
Yeah, there's been a lot of highs and lows since their Stanley Cup championship in 2017. But we can't deny Ovi's getting old. He only has so much time left in his career.
He's also got a full head of gray hair.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. He's and no teeth. 39, I think.
Yeah, he looks like he's 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
His kid's really cute, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Mini Ovi.
Yeah, so well wishes to Alex Ovechkin. Hope he recovers quickly, because I really want to see him break Wayne. No offense to Wayne Gretzky. I really want to see him break.
I think Gretzky does. Agree,
I think Gretzky
agree with you.
Wants it. Yeah. I think Gretzky is taking the right approach with that, too. Yeah, let me hand it off to Ovechkin, who's obviously awesome.
And I think he
headed
will.
For the Hall of Fame.
This isn't a Roger Maris' son type of situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great way to
I think Gretzky's rooting for Ovi.
Yeah. So, in other news, we're going to turn it over to Boston, where... things are not going that great in Boston so far. Jim Montgomery, their head coach, was just fired after just over two seasons leading the team. Joe Sacco comes in as their interim coach. Brewers are 8-9-3 this season, which is not great. Don't really know if there's much else to say about that, but do you guys have any thoughts?
I mean, I've been watching a lot of Bruins games, and I think that the goalie situation, like, Swayman hasn't been up to par, especially because of everything that happened with the, like, salary. And I people were saying that they wanted Monty fired, but I kind of just didn't think that it was going to happen. And when I saw the alert came up on my phone, I audibly gasped, and I called my brother, and I was like, oh my God, they just fired him. And I do think that something had to be done, but I don't know how this new coach is going to impact the team.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins have been a great team in the past with a very rowdy fan base, so this is very disappointing to see.
I think I wasn't surprised by it, but Montgomery's not the issue. Cassidy wasn't the issue. Your GM's the issue, but you rarely see general managers in hockey get fired. Don Sweeney, crazy guy. He's firing Cassidy after Cassidy... I forget what year it was, but obviously he went on to the Golden Knights and won the Stanley Cup, but they made the playoffs that season, and supposedly he lost the locker room, but then you hear all the players talk about it, and he definitely didn't lose the locker room. He just had beef with Jake DeBrusk, who's no longer a Bruin. Same thing with Jim Montgomery. I think this was more of a negative thing for the Bruins than anything. If you saw like what players were saying, they were like, the reality is we didn't play good enough and it costed us our coach, and that's something we don't carry lightly. And Montgomery was a phenomenal coach for the Bruins. 120 wins, 41 losses, and 23 overtime losses. So he did nothing wrong. You saw it coming. I don't necessarily agree with doing it this early on in the season. I think the Bruins, in my opinion, outplayed expectations last year. I don't think they're as good of a team as people think they are. I wasn't surprised, but I don't necessarily agree with firing Jim Montgomery.
I almost am reminded of the Jets firing Robert Saleh earlier this season, where it was just, it's not his fault. Like,
but the Jets are.
But the Jets are far more dysfunctional. Yes. Like, of course, it's kind of on a smaller scale, but you can't always just blame the coach. Like, I hate that.
The Bruins have a losing record right now.
Yes.
I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
It's also early.
Exactly.
It's been a month.
It's like the Jets.
A month? Right.
The Jets, you knew there was no chance, even though expectations said they were supposed. There was no chance.
Right. Absolutely. So on a little bit of a lighter note, Fraser Minton just made his NHL debut for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their top prospect. Lydia's super excited about it.
I am.
Called up Tuesday after a slew of injuries for Toronto. Played in four NHL games last year, but just scored his first NHL goal last night. What do we think, ladies?
I'm so happy for him because of what happened last year in the World Juniors. He was the captain of Team Canada, and because he was a Maple Leafs prospect, people just, because nobody likes the Leafs, people just hated on him for no reason, and I felt terrible. And then that team, Canadian team, totally underperformed, but I think it was roster construction and the coach they chose, and he was like the scapegoat for it all at a 19 year old. That's like us, as if we were just a country was just to like pretty much blame us for the loss of the World Juniors. So I'm very happy that he made his debut and looked good last night. Obviously, a WHL guy, too. Some bias out there. Shout out Seattle Thunderbirds, Matt Rempe's old team. But, yeah, I think it's great for Toronto, and I'm happy for Fraser Minton. What a name, by the way.
Excellent name.
Great name.
Yeah, at 19, he has his whole career ahead of him. I think he has a lot to achieve.
He's a 2004 baby. We're 04s.
That's outrageous. Yeah. That actually scares me a little. Like, yeah. Max Celebrini being
2006. No, 06? I'm older than him, and it's crazy to think.
2006?
Yeah. All right, we got to get into some local hockey, because that's really what we're here for. We're going to start with the New York Rangers, because we have two Rangers fans at this table. I'm outmatched for the Islanders, but that's okay. Thank you, Lydia. So I'm just going to hand it over to you guys. Lydia, I'll start with you, because I know you are just dying to talk about the Rangers. And then Sophia, jump in whenever you want. Go right ahead, Lydia.
I'm pretty negative about the Rangers, especially when I'm with you, Grace, for some reason. I'm not going to be negative today. The past two games I've seen from the Rangers, phenomenal. Mm. Great stuff. Really good on the road for some reason. The same thing happened last year. I think maybe now it's 7-1. But, yeah, they looked really good against the Kraken. And people say the Kraken are a team that when they play at home, they just have more jump to them. But the Rangers pretty much went in there and said, uh-uh. Like, we're the New York Rangers. We're going to just shut you out. And they won 2-0. Kind of a stalemate of a game until that Panarin play where he just caught the Kraken in a long shift. And then Lafreniere was, like, right on the doorstep to tap it home. That was a phenomenal goal. And then the Jonathan Quick effort, too. He was unreal in that game. He's been unreal all season, but I think we'll get into that in a little bit. So stay tuned if you want to hear about Jonathan Quick. Yeah, but I was super happy with how the Rangers played in that one. The first full 60 effort I've seen since that Pittsburgh game. I know they've had a lot of good wins since, but that was just a really complete game. And then obviously going to Vancouver, was it two nights ago? Yes. And they won 4-3 there. Not as good of a game, but they did get the win. Mika Kreider, Smith line looked awesome. It's good to see Mika Zibanejad getting going after that Sharks game. Panarin line did nothing, but the Rangers still won. So that's like the indicator of the team played well. Igor, there's some question marks there. He didn't have a good game. For some reason, he can't save a puck that goes over his shoulder or in between his arms. And he wants $12 million, so we'll see about that. But, yeah, other than that, great game from the Rangers. Will Cooley, goal, unreal. Really, really good hockey player.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with them, too. I'm extremely satisfied with Jonathan Quick. And I do think that I don't know that his super amazing like start to the season has impacted. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Has impacted like the Shesterkin salary, and in my opinion, I think that Igor's not worth all that money just because they don't have any, like, they wouldn't have any room for anyone else. And I think that they do need to, like, if the scoring dies down, then they would need to get other, I don't know. Anyway, so I think that, sorry guys, my brain. I don't know.
No, I can hop off that about the Igor thing.
Sorry.
No, you're good. So I think the thing that has Jonathan Quick, I think, makes like $1.5 million a year. And yes, he's at the end of his career. This is clearly, they've been signing him to like the 1-year deals, but it does affect the Igor contract negotiations because Igor wants the percentage of the salary cap. He doesn't want a number. He wants the percentage of the salary cap. So with Quick being so good, the Rangers, Chris Drury now kind of has leverage to be like, hey, we got another good goaltender. We can find a decent goaltender and still be able to build our roster around them if you're not willing to take not even a pay cut, but a little bit less money. And also, if you look at Igor's like numbers, on his numbers are fine. His expected like goals saved above isn't great. Like when you get to like the actual analytical stats that only like crazy fans would care about, but in a contract negotiation matters, he's not great. Like he's right middle of the pack for all those stats. So I don't know. I think that this does help the Rangers. I think it hurts Igor, but I don't think you can say that you still shouldn't pay Igor because he is the backbone of your team nonetheless. And this kind of happened last year. He went cold, but then come playoff time, he was the Rangers' best player night in, night out. So
yeah, it just sucks because Quick is older, so you can't, like, it's not sustainable. It's not the permanent answer. But, you know, Shesterkin can be so good, and at some points, like, he is totally worth that money. But then other times, like the game in Vancouver, he wasn't really up to his best self. Like that one goal, I don't know which one it was, but I was just, you got to save that.
The first goal was bad. The Quinn Hughes goal just went backhand over his shoulder. I think Connor Garland's goal that like went through, that also went over his same shoulder, the same shoulder.
Yeah, I think it was that
and
one.
And then, oh, who was it? Kiefer Sherwood or something? Right through Igor's arm.
No, yeah,
and
it was that one. And,
and he knew that he knew he needed that one back because he looks down and then looks up and he's like, shoot, that shouldn't have gone in the back of the net. And plus the Canucks didn't have two of their best players. They didn't have JT Miller and they didn't have Brock Besser. So that should, that was like, the Rangers should have won that game. But yeah, Igor, he really wasn't great in that one. But you know who was? And we talked about that. You want to say it?
Will Cooley.
William Cooley. Oh my gosh. What a player, Grace McCarron.
I was watching with you.
You know, the Daniel Jones saga, me and him, that might have been crazy. This one.
This is actually shaping up for you.
This is the first agenda I have had in so long that is actually starting to be supported. 14 points in 17 games played. This is all 5-on-5, by the way. He doesn't get power play time. He gets some penalty killing time, but he also averages 13.48 ice time per night. So to be able to do all of that, like, that's just dog mentality. Like, Peter Laviolette needs to play this guy more. And I was saying, I was doing some math earlier about his points pace. So if you do 14 points that he has currently divided by the 17 games the Rangers have played, that equals 0.825. And then if you multiply that by 82, he's on pace for 67.5 points. And let's give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Will Cooley. 68 point pace for a guy on his entry level contract who the Rangers need to figure out a way to lock up, not just for my sake, for just the team's sake, because this guy, I've been telling you since 2022, he's the guy. He's definitely getting 50 points this year. That line, Filipino hasn't been playing, Johnny Brodzinski slides in there. Mm-hmm. That line's still one of the best in the league right now. So clearly Cooley and Kaapo Kakko are able to hold their own. So I don't know, that's like telling to me. He's tied with Panarin for the lead, the team lead in 5-on-5 points.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm extremely impressed with him. His physicality is unmatched, and he always looks like he wants to be there, and he's trying so hard. And I think that's really shown. They switched up the lines a few games ago for like a stretch, and I like them like this. I think that putting Laf, Troch, and Bread back together, it just, like, during the Kraken game, there wasn't really much going on, and Panarin and Lafreniere just have that chemistry. They're able to just get something going, and I think that, like, you have to keep them together. I didn't like it when they split them up. I didn't think it was helping anyone, so.
I think the frustrating thing was Laviolette literally split up the lines to try and get Mika Zibanejad going, which I, by the way, I wrote about in The Ram this week. Shout
Shameless
out Grace McCarron
plug.
For forcing me to do that finally.
Everybody Google Lydia Perner on the Fordham Ram or look at her Twitter. It's
or,
on there.
Sports editor of Volume 107, Grace McCarron. Anyways, he basically he split those lines up, lines that were working to get Mika going. Mika didn't get going, but now we're seeing that, you know, staying consistent with two lines that work, that top line will work itself out. Mm. Kreider, Zibanejad, and Smith will figure it out, and they have been. They played well against San Jose. They played well against the Kraken. All four lines played well, and then Mika had a goal and beautiful assist. Like that fourth goal the Rangers scored, I think it was Kreider to Zibanejad to Smith, and then back to Kreider, and then it's in the back of the net. It was a beautiful passing play, and that was the chemistry that we've been seeing all game. But it wasn't just that. Like Zibanejad played well the whole rest of the game. He finally looked like he had jumped to his game, was playing with swagger, picked up some points for my fantasy team. If only I would set the lineups. So yeah, I was pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I was surprised. A few games ago, I read that Kreider only had one even strength point, and I was like,
he has no assists.
That's
too
crazy. And I think that now that if Mika starts going, they'll help each other, and I think it'll be good for everyone.
There's some like crazy stat out there that's like this Chris Kreider's start to the season with however many goals he has in zero. I think he has like 8 goals, 0 assists.
I think it's like 9, yeah.
That like hasn't been done since like 1929.
That's crazy.
When the Rangers like last won their Stanley Cup before 40 and then 94 practically. So yeah. That was crazy. Power play merchant. Nope, love Chris Kreider, but
love him.
Assists aren't his thing, and that's why we need Mika Zibanejad to get going.
Well, you also mentioned Filip Hedl earlier, the injury update on him. No concussion, which is good for the Rangers. He's set to join the team in Calgary. They are playing Calgary tonight, so he's with the team. Still considered day-to-day, but he is.
I think he skated this morning.
Yeah,
I think
he
initially,
did.
Like, Molly Walker tweeted no Filip Hedl on the ice, but then I think he ended
up he skated when the team team left.
And so that's encouraging. I think the main thing there was just his health. Like, forget hockey, just his health in general, because last year was really devastating to see him. Like, he was doing like frontal lobe training back in Czechia to try and, it was like a serious thing because of his concussion issues. It wasn't just like a rest and wait. He was having to like retrain his brain. So, and then he comes back in the playoffs and like wasn't great, but you don't expect him to be great. And then to start this season, like, he's been the Rangers' best center. He's been better
it's
than Trocheck.
So
he's
disappointing.
Been better than Zibanejad. So it's good to see that he has no concussion and still day to day. But he should get back in.
I really hope he can come back because he was playing phenomenally.
Yeah, unreal. That whole line.
Yeah.
Got to keep.
I've been impressed with Capo, too. I'm really happy with his improvements this season.
For sure. He's not the second overall pick they thought.
No, definitely not.
He was, but he's been just like a really good player, and he's created an identity for himself that he's going to go into the hard areas, but he's also going to use his skill, where like Cooley will just go into the hard areas. Kako uses his skill, and then he just flies with the puck and is willing to shoot it. So that's why that line has been so effective this season. So we'll see when Hedl gets back and then how that affects Brodzinski. Only time will tell.
So the Rangers face the Flames in Calgary tonight at 9 p.m. So
they gotta look out for Dustin Wolf. He's had an insane start to the season.
Calgary's pretty good.
They underperformed last year, so it's all like relative. Like seeing where they were last year at this time, seeing where they are now. But yeah, Calgary's not a team to take lightly. The Rangers actually lost to Calgary last year in Calgary, I think. Actually, no,
that's
that was 2 years ago.
That's
crazy
that you remember this.
Naomi,
any closing thoughts? Rangers, any, Lydia, I mean, you probably have more to say. I could see it in your eyes. Sophia, you too.
I just hope Mika keeps going with this new.
Yes.
We should talk about the Rangers' fourth line quickly.
Go right ahead.
That fourth line has been awesome.
I love Edstrom.
Sam Carrick.
Oh, yes.
First of all, first Rangers goal scorer of the year in Pittsburgh.
Iconic.
Sam Carrick, hope you bet the house on it because you would have won college tuition. I saw a tweet that was like, the fact that nobody on Rangers Twitter is complaining about Sam Carrick just shows how good he's been. Because I don't know if you know about Rangers Twitter, Grace.
If
you know anyone on Rangers Twitter, but
I mean,
some folks on that app are rather opinionated. I'm
not referencing
anyone in this room, but people have strong opinions, and no one's had a strong
opinion. No, that's really
about
interesting, actually.
Sam Carrick, because he's been such a good Chris Drury pickup.
There was so much like discourse about Goodrow that it's so fascinating.
He's been better than Goodrow. Yeah. He's making $2.6 million a year less than Goodrow. Shout out Barkley Goodrow, by the way. playoff legend, San Jose Sharks, first line forward. Shameless plug for Mr. Goodrow. Gotta put him on there with Macklin, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we gotta take it to the island, you guys, and I'm excited because I have some very strong opinions.
We don't have to. You're choosing to.
Well, we kind of have to because this is our hockey podcast, and we're based in New York, and I'm an Islanders beat reporter, so I kind of just kind of have the gig.
The New York Islanders?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. No, keep going.
All right. Well, the big thing this week was, beyond hockey, Mike Riley, we found out indefinitely with a heart condition. He's no longer concussed. He was out with a concussion for a few games. Big loss as it was, but they found when they were doing concussion testing that he has a heart condition. He required heart surgery, which he got on Tuesday. It could be several months before he returned. GM Lou Lamoriello said, once he is back to full health and recovered, his quality of life will be 100% and he will be able to play hockey. So that, at the end of the day, before we even get into any losses, any bad overtime losses that the Islanders have had that I will complain about momentarily, I just want to say, hoping that Mike Riley and his family are okay and that his recovery is smooth and that he can get back on the ice soon. Now we have to get into the overtime losses, unfortunately. I'm not over them at all. So, Islanders had a statement win at Vancouver last Thursday, 5-2. I'd like to point out that they scored 5 on the Canucks and the Rangers scored 4.
Crazy. Wow. Oh, my goodness. 2 points is 2 points.
Then they lost to the Seattle Kraken Saturday. They need to keep up the kind of play seen in Vancouver, which they haven't been doing. They are not a very consistent hockey team. They lost to Calgary in a shootout on Tuesday, which was very painful for me, mostly. Lydia really enjoyed it.
It's because she was hanging out with me.
Yeah, exactly. That was brutal. It's always brutal to lose in a shootout. But with the way that they've been going in overtime, they blow the lead. They, you know, they're up 2-0. Okay, fine. They go into the third period, and it just comes crashing down. It's a theme. It feels like almost every game except in Vancouver.
Every year, too.
Every year, every game. Except in Vancouver, which was like a shining light, their best game of the season. They just keep losing in overtime. And it's now, listen. I will say that the Islanders are still very injured. Matt Barzal is out. Anthony Duclair out. Adam, why would you show? She's showing for the listeners at home. She's showing a video of the stadium series last year, which I think is super mean. Anyway.
Overtime loss.
Adam, thank you, I remember. Adam Pellick, they're all still hurt, alongside Mike Riley, who obviously will be out for quite a while. They are starting to come back. Alex Romanov returned versus Calgary Tuesday, but Lamoriello did say on Monday, still waiting on Barzy, Duke, and Pellick to start skating. So it's going to be a while. Duclair was obviously their biggest offseason acquisition. He had a great start to the season in the few games that he did play. I believe he scored in the home opener. I was there. It was electric. That was kind of it for that game, though. They lost that game in overtime anyway.
To Utah?
We don't have to talk about it. Yes.
Same.
It was
Rangers,
devastating.
Rangers lost opening night to Utah, so in overtime.
Yeah. That's kind of funny that happened, actually.
Oh my God, it wasn't funny. I didn't talk to my dad in the whole ride home.
Anyway, so there have been some bright spots beyond the injuries, beyond the overtime losses. A couple of players have stepped up. Anders Lee is having a Lee surgeance. I've been waiting weeks to say that on
this
podcast.
That was cool. I like that.
I saw that on Twitter. I'm not going to act like I made that up, but I have been saying it a lot. So
that's pretty good.
Anders Lee surgeance. 3 goals in past 4-2 against the Edmonton Oilers, which they lost in overtime. It's actually unbelievable how many times I've had to say the words overtime loss during this segment. But anyway, Brock Nelson, who I love, 3 goals in their past few. Pierre Engvall, who we thought was just destined to be in the AHL after last year. No.
King.
3-game goal streak. One versus Calgary on Tuesday. Hopefully he can make it 4 tonight against Detroit.
And he's getting that bag, too.
Exactly.
For 8 more years or whatever. Cause
right. You know,
Mr. Lamoriello just loves his... He
loves Pierre Engvall. And you know what? I'm starting to love the guy, too. So
he was a trooper. He was a trooper the way he handled the whole situation.
I do have to hand it to him with how he handled. Kind of reminiscent. I don't want to bring this up again, but kind of reminiscent of, like, Daniel Jones always just stuck it out.
Yeah.
Pierre Engvall kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
But the overall theme here, and I'll get your – I just yap and yap about the Islanders. But the overall theme here, they've been on this long road trip to Western Canada, the West Coast. It's, I believe, their longest road trip that they'll have this year. They played 5 games away. Tonight they'll play in Detroit, and then they come back to play St. Louis at UBS Arena on Saturday night. I will be in attendance. Follow my Twitter for game updates, GraceMcCarron_. Shameless plug again.
Great follow.
Thank you. Overall themes, overtime losses, but injuries. And a couple of guys who they've brought up have been performing. I'll hand it off to whoever wants to say something. What do you think, Naomi?
I mean, it is always disheartening losing in a shootout, especially in the playoffs. But to see Anders Lee step up at 34, too, he's getting a little old, too. But it's great. Gives us hope for the future of the Islanders.
Yeah. Also, on the Anders Lee surgeon's note, because I'm obsessed with it, he kind of, like, fell off the face of the earth. He's the captain. Everybody has been hard on him.
Yes.
And now he's back. And it's really just, it's a thrill. What do you guys think?
I just think that you can't fault the injuries for all of these overtime losses. Because they did the same thing last year. They blew the leads in the third. Like, for them to be leading the whole game 1-0 against the Flames and then, like, lose in overtime. Like, why?
It's terrible. I know.
And so I just think that even when everyone comes back, this core is not sustainable and it hasn't shown to be successful. So I don't know.
The one thing about Anders Lee, I've always agreed with Islander fans on. I was talking to Nick Palmer about this at the beginning of the year.
Shout out Nick Palmer.
Who, unhinged Islanders fan. But we agreed. Right, like we agreed on the fact that want the best for Andersley. Like, he's a great, take away like the hockey aspect of it, he's a great captain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great in the locker room. His teammates love him. I think, like, for me, when I see the name Andersley, I just think he's, like, a superstar because of, like, just him being a captain and kind of the face of the Islanders for all these years after Tavares left. But
don't say that name on this podcast.
John Tavares is a legend. Anyways, Grace probably thinks he's a snake, but that's okay. It's good to see Lee finally kind of playing to, I don't want to say, like, his name, but that, like, that's how I feel. Like, he's kind of playing up to his name.
Yeah.
And when I look at the Islanders, like, top six, I don't hate it. And I think, like, you got Lee, Horvat, Pajot, who I literally, if you know anything about Pajot, like, he might be my least favorite NHL player because of what he did on the Ottawa Senators against the New York Rangers in 2017, second round. I don't forget things. I have, like, an eternal hatred for this guy because he was nails. Then Sipikov, Nelson, Palmieri. That line stayed together.
Yeah.
Great line. Great line for the Islanders. So when you get, you know, Barzal and
Duclair
back, I think the Islanders, like, I feel like this season's kind of, I don't want to say it's a wash because of the injuries and the length of some of these injuries, but there is going to be, like, an adjustment period when these players get healthy, trying to Ra's going to have to,
That's it. I do this every time. You got it.
Ra's going to have to rejuggle the lines and, like, rebuild chemistry, so I do think that's going to be kind of tough for the Islanders, but I don't think you can be really disappointed with the effort of the Islanders this year. I think it's different from last year. Like, I think that they're losing in overtime, but I think they're showing, like, much more fight. And I think Patrick Waugh has agreed with that. And he's he can be a critical guy at times, or not critical, but open about his thoughts. And I think he's been happy with the efforts with the Islanders.
Yeah. He has not, in my experience, he will be very positive when the players deserve it, but he will also, like, get on the players that he brings up from Bridgeport who are underperforming. Like, he would not really give a lot of credit to Hudson Fashing when he was up, because he was like, no offense, Hudson, love you, but, you know, he will criticize. Mm-hmm. He's criticized Simon Holmstrom, like, you know, we could go on. But another bright spot that I forgot to bring up, who I love, Max Siplikov. He's legend. Been good. He's really been good, actually. Really solid.
He's a rookie.
He is a rookie.
He might be
something. Absolutely.
Siplikov, who else is a rookie? Celebrini. Smith. Yes. I think you could throw his name in the mix. I think because he's an Islander, he gets, like, swept under the rug.
Yeah.
But I think he's been good.
Also, because the theme is more the overtime losses, not the, hey, this rookie's super good.
But I don't think, like, overtime losses are a thing. Just overtime in general.
Yeah.
I think, like, a lot of good teams don't play well in overtime. Like,
yes.
It's not, like, I remember the year the Rangers, they first got good in, like, 2022. Like, they won, like, two games in overtime. Like, their Achilles heel was overtime. Every time we got to an overtime game, we knew we were losing it.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, I don't think 3-on-3 hockey is, like, it's weird.
It is weird.
But I do think a lot of it comes down to the, like, Islanders just blowing leads.
Yeah, that's the problem. You have to keep
the
lead.
They have to play a full 60, and then they won't get to overtime.
But last year they were blowing multi-goal leads. No, this definitely. Year it's more of like one shot can change the game. Yeah.
Are you talking about the stadium series?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not even talking about the stadium series. I'm talking about just like every single, well, the stadium series, it was 4-1 like 13 minutes left in the third period. And then
Everyone remember? Just want to make sure everyone remembers.
Like, could you have like engraved in your brain like Sean McDonough's call?
Unfortunately,
like,
Down low,
he scores.
I actually rewatched it last night. I did have that in my ear last night.
I still have the texts to my father. Shout out Anthony McCarron.
Shout out Anthony. Great dude.
Thanks. That was sweet.
Happy birthday on December 3rd.
So true. Come to trivia night. Anyway, trivia night. But I have the text to my father of that night, and it was bad. Like, it was really...
That was demoralizing. That was like a great
night. I'm sure
night.
You had a great time.
Like,
I'm sure you also
hearing the ref, like, so, you know, so after video review, it's been determined.
Yeah, and then everyone goes crazy.
Yeah, that was unreal. But back to the point. back to what we're talking about. The Islanders have been blowing leads in a different way this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a one, they don't put up many goals.
Yeah.
So it's a tight game. And when a team like pulls a goalie or is pushing in the third period, that's when they're losing games. Because when a team's playing high risk hockey against, that's most, like, it's tough when you're backed into your own end. Mm. So I don't necessarily, like, fault the Islanders as much. And they also had a healthy team last year.
Yeah.
They had no excuses last year. That's a huge,
like, this year, I feel like I've downplayed it on this segment just because I'm, like, mad whenever they blow a game in overtime. But, like, they have had a lot of injuries.
And Lane Lambert was their coach for half the year last year.
That's true.
Right.
So it was that thing because they, the Islanders credit, I'll give the Islanders credit where it's due. Their last 20 or so games, they were the best team. They were like the Mets. They were like the best team in the NHL.
Wow, that's crazy.
They made that crazy run and got that third.
It's true.
Third spot awesome. They were the third, right?
Yeah.
Because they played Carolina, the 2-3. Yeah. They made a crazy run because they started winning games and they started buying into Waugh's system. But now your team's injured. It's different circumstances to me with the Islanders.
Yeah. Before the season started in October, the story with the Islanders obviously was the Duclair acquisition, but there was the top line was Duke, Horvat, and Barzal. Like, that's a solid first line.
Yeah.
You didn't happen to watch preseason hockey by any chance, right?
I actually was at the game against the Devils, but that was not the real Devils.
Do you remember when they blew they were up 5-1 and the Rangers won 6-5 in regulation?
I actually don't remember that because I blocked it out.
I was supposed to go to that game and then I couldn't, and my brother went, and I was like,
I DVR'd it and I turned off my notifications.
You DVR'd a preseason game. Yeah. You're insane.
Yeah, because I had soccer and this is back when I actually went to practice. So I turned my phone off.
Shout out Aaron.
Yeah, shout out Aaron and Isabella for trying to make me show up. But yeah, I DVR'd it and I turned off my Twitter notifications because I just wanted to it's like, as a fan, you're practicing for the season, you know what I mean? Like, staying locked into your team in preseason. So it was a great game. I'm glad I stayed up.
About you.
Me too. Please, Rangers, do something. Help me out here. Daniel Jones is done.
The Yankees
lost the World Series.
Well, we have the Knicks.
Please, but... Rangers, I beg you for my sanity.
All right. Overall, we're going to close out the Islanders, a little quick Devils touch-up, but any closing thoughts on the New York Islanders?
Just play a full 60. When everyone comes back, just commit, put the effort, and you'll be good.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I don't think the Islanders should worry about what's going on right now because of this current state of their team. And they got a good bench boss. They got a good goaltender. They'll be fine.
Sorry, I lied. There is one more thing I wanted to ask. So I've heard some people on Twitter. Now, I know Twitter is not a trustworthy source. So some people calling for Patrick Waugh to be replaced. What do you guys think? Right, exactly.
That's terrible.
Terrible take.
So incorrect.
Yeah. I don't like that. Take.
I'd just like to put out there that I think that's a terrible take and I hate it. I love Patrick Waugh. He's fantastic with the media and pressers.
He's also just he's a great coach.
Also, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, really, who else?
Yeah, exactly.
Trust?
He's not gonna. If Islander fans not even Islander fans, if hockey fans just think Patrick Waugh is gonna come in and bring the Islanders to the President's
the Stanley
Trophy,
Cup.
That's not be realistic. What he did with them last season, I thought was incredible. Again, we just talked about the
like, also,
end season
yeah.
run,
and like
it's
his
also just not his fault.
His experience has helped him so much. Yeah. I feel like I actually read something today that Gerard Gallant is gonna be the head coach for Team Canada or something.
Are you kidding me? For the Four Nations?
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually true.
I have to pay $300 for nosebleed seats to watch Gerard Gallant.
I don't know if that's actually true. I did read that and I was like, what?
That's awful. That's almost as bad as hiring Alan Letang last year for the World Juniors.
You've just sent her into a spiral.
Oh,
anyway.
My goodness. Canada's losing hockey as their sport.
Yeah, and then everyone was like, okay, well, so Team USA is obviously going to win because no one is winning with that guy. So.
Gerard Gallant. Oh, my goodness. That, unlocked memories I didn't want to re-unlock from that Devils series.
Yeah.
Oh,
speaking
Lord.
Of the Devils, that was a great segue. Thank you, Lydia.
It was planned.
We gotta touch quickly on... the New Jersey Devils. I feel like there's not that much to talk about with them right now. They kind of just are. They have some injuries, kind of like the Islanders, but to a lesser degree. They just placed Curtis Lazar and Nathan Bastian. Am I saying that correctly?
Bastian, yeah. You got it.
On long-term injured reserve, they recalled 4 AHL players. They play the Carolina Hurricanes, who obviously are super good, tonight at the Prudential Center. They did shut out the Lightning last Saturday following 2 wins, or they got shut out, I'm sorry, 0-4, that was very misleading, I'm sorry, following 2 wins versus the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, which certainly had everybody feeling good. Shout out Tucker Austin, James Burley, surely they were super happy those days. But they go to Tampa, they're struggling to make moves on offense. Andrei Vasilevskiy, 36th career shutout, shout out to him.
Great, great goaltender.
And that would be the Devils' 3rd shutout this month. And we're coming up on the end of November. I mean, 3 shutouts in a month is not it's not the worst, but it's also it's not spectacular.
It's concerning when offense is your identity.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I think that it's just crazy that they were able to beat Florida twice in a row in such a dominating fashion.
Yep.
And then they go to Tampa and they just lay an egg. And I was like, wow, that's It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Panthers haven't skipped a beat from where they were last season. I didn't watch that game, but I remember I was talking to James the next morning, and he was like, man, that game last night was just, like, unreal from the Devils. And I was Panthers, like, yeah.
The Panthers on a 7-game win streak. I honestly don't know how the Devils were able to pull that off.
I feel that's kind of just, no, not to, you know, not to dunk on the Devils here.
Go ahead.
No, you're like, please do. That kind of, to me, is, like, the ebbs and flows of hockey. Like, yeah. Obviously, and that's every sport, but the Panthers obviously are not, you know, you can't win every game. Like, 7 games in a row is crazy to win.
But then it makes sense because, like, they win all that and then they...
You're tired.
Yeah.
But they are third in the Metropolitan Division. I forgot to ask about, like, are the Islanders going to the playoffs? Do you guys think? I know it's super early, but...
Wait, but before you ask that, can we put an asterisk on the Devils where they are in the standings? They have so many more games played than every other team.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's true. That actually is a good point. So asterisk there.
Check the win percentage. But that's what matters.
They are. Check the win percentage. I think to wrap up this episode of 5-on-3, I'm going to ask, we'll talk about the Capitals a little because I know that's your team. We talked about Ovi a little bit, but I'm going to start with the local teams. We'll get into the Caps. Rangers, Islanders, Devils, are they all making the playoffs? Are 2-1? I'm not going to say 0 because that's preposterous, but what do you guys think? And Naomi, feel free to jump in on this too.
Quite a loaded question.
I mean, I don't want to jinx anything, but I definitely think that the Rangers are locked in. Yeah.
Sorry.
Definitely. I know. And then the Devils, I mean, I feel like I want to say they can all make it. I think that they all definitely are capable of it. But it's just going to be, like, who wants the spot,
Well, who's going to be the 1-2-3 out of the Metro? That's the question.
Let me pull up that.
Carolina looks so good now.
I think it's going to be Rangers and Carolina.
Yeah.
And then I think.
And the Caps, like, where
Caps
do they fall
solid.
Into it?
Yeah.
I think the Capitals could be the three.
With the Ovi injury?
Yes, that's my. That was going to be my question.
Absolutely. Okay. Ovechkin has been on a goal-scoring tear. But the Capitals have just been playing good hockey.
I think it's interesting Lindgren on the Caps was such a storyline last year. And this season, like, no one's really talking about him because of the way the Capitals are playing as a team. It's
they went out and got Logan Thompson.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
He's been one of the better goaltenders in the league this year.
Yeah.
Spencer Carberry is a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, I love him.
Despite, like, what happened against the Rangers last year, to no fault of their own because they just were completely outmatched, they're a better team this season, like, far and away, with or without Ovechkin.
They have Rangers legend Eric Gustafson, so...
True. Is he on the Caps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric Gustafson? I thought he was on the Red Wings.
Okay,
used to be on the Capitals.
I'm so sorry.
No, you had that. The Capitals are a good team, and I don't really see them falling off, like, without Ovechkin.
I agree. I mean, I think Ovechkin is the backbone of the Capitals, but moving forward... As we mentioned, he is going to retire eventually.
Yep.
And I think they have the capability and enough young players to make it a great team.
The Capitals. Who's, like, the leading scorer for the Capitals right now, other than Ovi?
Dylan Strome has assisted on, like, all of Ovi's goals.
I forgot Dylan Strome's, like, a dog these days. So, I mean, you got Tom Wilson, too.
Protus, great.
He's been really good. Great young.
And
young
isn't
guy
Milano
there.
On the Caps?
Yes, but for some reason he's not coming up in the line combination, so he must be hurt.
Connor McMichael's up there.
Yeah, so I think the Caps have, like, a good combination of, like, youthful energy and, like, a guy like Ovi that I think they can just, like, grind out games and just win games and just stay in the hunt. So Grace, back to your question. I'm thinking that the 1-2-3 is going to be Rangers. In no particular order, Rangers, Caps, Devils.
What about Hurricanes?
Sorry, Capitals, Rangers, Devils. No, sorry, Canes. Capitals are in the wild card. I think the Capitals are a wild card team.
Okay.
So then that begs the question of the Atlantic Division, who right now you have the Leafs, Panthers, Lightning. So the Sabres and Bruins would be the two teams in the hunt. So you're looking at Sabres, Bruins, or Islanders, and only... one team can take that spot.
I don't think it's the Sabres.
It's not the Sabres.
It's probably not the Sabres, but they've been playing...
Oh, please.
Lindy Ruff has been doing good for them.
I like the Sabres a lot. I just don't think that
they have a lot of great young talent. They did just send Devin Levi to the AHL, but yeah, I would. It's probably between the Islanders and Bruins, realistically.
That's what I would say.
If you had to pick right now, would you give me the Islanders?
If I had to pick right now, I'm picking the Sabres.
Really?
But if you had to tell me, like, if we're going to, like, rehave this conversation.
We're doing this way too early, obviously.
Yes, if we're going to rehave this conversation, assuming the Islanders get healthy and assuming Jeremy Swayman figures out how to stop that little, like, circular
object
that yes. gets shot at him.
Absolutely.
I think the Bruins are a good team.
Yeah,
that
I would say the
that wild card.
I would say
one.
The Bruins too.
I think that's I think news. Like wild card 1 and 2 are going to be Bruins and Capitals. I just don't, unless the Islanders get healthy quick. I think they might just have sabotage their season with health.
Yeah, I think if it's health, like, they are on the way back. Like, they just, I mean, Duclair, like, we thought was catastrophic. And he is injury-prone, so you never know what's going to happen with him. But we thought that was a more catastrophic injury than it was. And it was 4 to 6, I believe it's 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if that's
I just think I need
truth,
to see more from the Islanders. Even when everyone's healthy, I just need more.
To be fair, that top line in the preseason was really good.
They were very good.
Like, very
I'm
good.
So
fun to watch,
sad.
Too.
I do think if they, first of all, obviously you said it, Sophia, they need to play a full 60 minutes of hockey. If they can stop blowing the lead in the third period, that would certainly help. Because they're not like, I don't think they're playing bad hockey every night.
And just score some empty net goals, too.
That's another thing. It's a great
Last
point.
Season, they didn't have an empty net goal until, like, way, way into the season. And I was shocked. I don't even know what month it was, but when I read that stat, I was like, how do they not have an empty net goal?
Some Islanders fan told me that stat at the stadium series. The chiller sitting in front of me. I don't know. He was just telling me, like, yeah, the Islanders don't score empty netters. And I was like, damn, that stinks. That's why
they just let in goals 6-on-5.
Because that was the only like Rangers Islanders game I've ever been to.
I can't believe that we were not there on November 3rd when we decided to go to the Giants game instead.
Yeah,
that
but Daniel Jones
threw
three.
That's
three
true. That was great.
We plug
right
this on
there.
Every 5-on-3
we
episode.
We have to talk about this on every episode. It's never happening again, clearly. Anyway, closing. If there's any closing thoughts, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Will Cooley.
Thank you, Lydia.
I hope the Rangers win tonight.
Yeah, no, I have the Islanders. Islanders starting in 20 minutes, actually. So we got to hit the road so that I can turn that on. Shout out to Lydia for letting me use her Gotham MSG Sports. Plus account.
Shout out the Perner parents who paid for mine and Grace's subscription.
We share. Love you guys. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of 5-on-3. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by my wonderful co-host and all women show today. Fantastic job, everybody. And Gabby Price behind the board, of course, who we love. Naomi Ray, Sophia Smith, and special guest star D-host Lydia Perner. I'm Grace McCarron. 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports.